Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Sorry I haven't been around. And apologies in advance. I didn't really have time to look over this sugya, so I'm relying heavily on my notes over here. I'll be around a lot more consistently. It's not entirely true. I'm out of camp a lot this week also. But I'm going to try my best to be properly prepared and to be around to answer questions and things like that and to be more holding in the sugya. But I wanted to get into the sugya now of mila for gerus, because we know what the ingredients of gerus are, and mila seems to be the first ingredient, at least for a male, to be megayir. So a yisod that permeates all of hilchos gerus is the Gemara in Krisus that we've already seen on Daf Tes. The Gemara says that just like Klal Yisrael became Jewish at Har Sinai, so too we have to reenact all of these steps that they took at Maimon Har Sinai. We have to replicate the process of Maimon Har Sinai in order for us to become Jewish. And that does not mean everything that happened at Maimon Har Sinai. Right? We do not require a ger to stand at the foot of a mountain. We certainly don't require it to stand under a mountain and have his life threatened. We don't require a kolos uvrakim, right? There are obviously going to be a lot of details that we're not going to require in terms of Maimon Har Sinai. Although we saw Rav Shechter writes in Ginas Egos that we do need a Hashras Hashchina in order for a person to become a Ger. And how do we do the Hashras Hashchina? You remember what we say? The Beis Din. The Beis Din represents Hashras Hashchina. Whenever there's a Beis Din sitting together, you have Hashras Hashchina. So you do need that, but obviously you don't need every element of Maimon Har Sinai. But three things that you do need, and this must have happened at Har Sinai, is you need Mila, you need Tevila, you need Karban. So obviously all of those things the Gemara is going to have to deal with. Really? Did they have Mila at Maimon Har Sinai? Did they have Tevila at Maimon Har Sinai? Did they have Korban at Maimon Har Sinai? Where were all of these things present? So the Gemara discusses over here, Tan Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ger Shemol Velo Taval. What if you have a Ger, he got his Mila, he didn't yet go to the Mikvah. So Reb Lazar Omer Harit, because to go to the Mikvah, he's got to heal a little bit. He can't go straight from the Mila straight into the Mikvah. First of all, the Mikvah get full of blood, he'll get infected, it would be terrible. Right? So he's got to heal from his Mila before he can go into the Mikvah. So Ger Shemol Velo Taval. So there is this this window of time where there's a Mila that's done, but not yet a Tevila. So Reb Lazar Omer is a Ger. He's a Ger. How do I know that? Shekein matzinu bavaseinu shemal v'lo tavel. Because that's what happened at Maimon Har Sinai. Taval v'lo mal. What if you had only tevila and not mila? Rabbi Yeshua marais ager. Shekein matzinu b'imal shetaval v'lo malu. How do you think women became Jewish? Women had tevila and not mila. Meaning there are a lot of assumptions being made over here, right? Meaning there's an assumption being made that the women were tovel. There's an assumption being made that the men had a mila and not a tevila, right? We have all these assumptions. The Chum Momrim tovel v'lo mal, mal v'lo tovel, ein ger ad shi'im ovi yitvel. Chum say, what are you talking about? Both of these are absolutely makiv in the gerus. You need a mila, you need a tevila. You can't have one with it. You can't have one or the other. These aren't options. It's not like you fill in a checklist. You know, I'll have a mila today, you know, and then no, this is how to become a Jew. You need mila, you need tevila, you need the whole thing. It doesn't work that way. Ad sheyim ol v'yitbol. I, Frech the Gemara, how's each one going to respond to the other one's rayas? Rabbi Yeshua nami nelef mi avos. Rabbi Yeshua said that the tevila is absolutely ma'akev, but what about the avos? Rabbi Lazar nami nelef mi imahos. Rabbi Lazar said that the tevila is not ma'akev, that the mila is absolutely ma'akev. What about the imos? The imos didn't have mila. The chitema, and maybe you're going to tell me, well, you can't bring a raya from the imahos. The ain done in efshar mishe'i efshar. The imahos were female. They can't get a mila. There's no possibility of a mila. But you can't derive what the halacha of mila is for a male from the fact that females don't get a mila. Obviously, females don't get a mila. There's nothing on which to do mila. Say ain done efshar mishe'i efshar. Says Gemara, but Tanya, Rav Lezer, Omer, Minayin, LePesach Doros, Shein Ba Elamin Achulin, because Nemra Pesach B'Mitzrayim, Nemra Pesach B'Doros, Ma Pesach, Amr B'Mitzrayim, Nemra Ba Elamin Achulin, Ma Pesach B'Doros, Shein Ba Elamin Achulin. That there's a halacha, that your carbon Pesach has to be an animal that was not already a carbon of some other sort. It was not already hukdash as any other type of korban or anything else. In other words, it can't be maestros, it can't be anything. It's got to be a chulin animal. How do I know that? Because in Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no such thing as maeser behema. There was no such thing as bechor. There was no such thing as kodshim. There was none of that existed yet. It was prior to Matan Torah, and yet we had a korban Pesach. So every korban Pesach that we took in Mitzrayim was chulin. It was a regular animal. So too, Lidaros, every Korban Pesach has to be Chulin. But in Pesach Mitzrayim, there were no kachim animals, there were no meiser animals, the only option was chulin. Elamai, what do you see? That we are done in efshar, mishai efshar. That will derive the halacha about something where there are multiple possibilities from a case where there were not multiple possibilities. So therefore, we should be able to derive the halacha that you don't need a mila for a male from the fact that the females didn't need a mila at Matan Torah, even though for the females it would be impossible. Yeah, but we're allowed to be done efshar, mishai efshar. Some of the Rebbe of Chitan Nefshar Mishi Efshar, Amle Af Mishi Efshar, Raya Gedoli even in Lodi Mem. He said, yeah, we are done Nefshar Mishi Efshar. Elo says, B'tavol v'lo mal, Kuli Amlo Pligit Mahani. Therefore, it must be that we can learn from the women that if you just have Tvila, not Mila, it works. Ki Pligi, B'mol v'lo tavol. Rabbi Lezer yelled, the whole machlokas is only if you did Mila without Tvila. So Rabbi Lezer says, you see from the Avos that it works. Avos meaning the males at Maimon Har Sinai. For Rabbi Yeshua, but Avos nami tvila havin. Rabbi Yeshua says, how do you see anything from the Avos? They also had tvila. Who told you they didn't have tvila? So says Gemara Minale, where do you see that they had tvila? So ilay mamidichsev lechala amvikidashtem ayom machar v'chipsusim losam, that the pasuk says explicitly by Maimon Har Sinai that they needed to tovel their clothing. The Gemara says it must be that if they had to tovel their clothing, they for sure had to tovel themselves. They for sure had to tovel their own bodies. It says, how do you know? Maybe they just had to wash their clothing so it could look nice. There was a zrika sadam on the people, a hazah sadam, a sprinkling of the blood. Ugemiri, what does the word gemiri always mean in Shas? Usually means halacha Moshe Mishnah or an ancient tradition. That we have an ancient tradition that ain, what is it, ugemiri, de ain hazah b'lo tvila. That whenever you're doing hazah, whenever there's a sprinkling, there had to have been a tvila. So if the pasuk is going to tell me that there was a hazah sadam, it must be that there was a tvila. Rabbi Yeshua tvila be imahos v'nolah. Where did Rabbi Yeshua learn that there's tvila by the imahos? Svaru, timkin, b'menach, z'tach, z'kan v'eshchina. Rabbi Yeshua says, of course the imahos had tvila. Meaning imos again, not meaning Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah, imos meaning the women at Maimon Har Sinai, because they became Jewish and they didn't have Mila, so they had to have something. So it must be that they had a tevila, because what else would they have had? So it's a svara. So that's why he assumes that the imos must have had tevila. So long story short, Gemara asks, how do we know that there was Mila and tevila by Maimon Har Sinai? And the Gemara works hard to try to show where we see Mila and Tvila. The Gemara says, and we didn't even read the whole Gemara, the Gemara says that Mila happened before the first Karban Pesach. Right? Mila happened not at Maimon Har Sinai, it happened way back in Mitzrayim. How do I know Mila happened before the first Karban Pesach? The halach is called Arel Lo Yochal Bo. That an Arel is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pesach. Someone who doesn't have a Mila is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pesach. Right? So there was a massive Bris Mila campaign before Karban Pesach, right? Before that first Karban Pesach. So you see that the Mila that they did at that time wasn't just like the regular dinner of Bris Mila following the traditions of Avraham Avinu from Parshas Lech Lecha, but that it was a Mila's Geirus, right? So you had a Mila's Geirus in Mitzrayim, and then you had a Tevila at Maimon Har Sinai when they were doing the Hazaah or something like that. Now, the Ramban in Yevamos asks a very fundamental question. If the Mila at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Mila's Geirus, did everyone get a Mila right then? First get their Milas right then, right before we left Mitzrayim when we were doing Karban Pesach? Were there any Jews that already had a Mila prior to that time? So says Ramban, yeah, there were Jews that were keeping up the tradition of Mila throughout all the centuries. In Mitzrayim, Shevet Levi. But why was Shevet Levi doing a Mila throughout all that time? Who told them to do a Mila? Why were they doing it? Avram. They were keeping the Bris of Avram alive, right? They were following that tradition. But wait a second, says Ramban. If the Gemara is going to tell me that Mila that we did before Karban Pesach was not only a regular Mila like keeping up the tradition of Avram Avinu, but was also a Mila L'Shem Geirus, well, then where was Levi's? Where was Shevet Levi's Mila L'Shem Geirus? They had Milas already. And we're going to have a major sugya. We're going to have to spend some time discussing what do you do if a ger comes to convert and he's already circumcised. Happens all the time, right? There are different trends in society, whether people are in favor of circumcision, not in favor of circumcision. So you have different trends in society. So depending on the context within which he was born and raised, so he may very often he's already circumcised. So what do you do? He already has a milah. There's nothing left, to cut off anymore safely. So what do you do in those cases? So we'll get to that. But the Ramban says, historically, forget about lemaisa right now when the ger comes and he's already circumcised. Historically, how did Sheva Levi become Jewish? Don't they need a milah? So the Ramban gives two answers and Tosfos gives a third. Ramban writes, first of all, that if nowadays a guy wanted to convert and he was already circumcised, so some Rishonim hold Enochinami. The Geirus is just through Tevila. He's like an Isha. Just like a woman wants to convert, she doesn't need a Mila. So a guy who's already circumcised. Some Rishonim say, again, we'll get to this in the Sugya Vatav Stamplis. Some Rishonim would say, good, so fine. Just go to the mikvah. He doesn't need the Mila. The Ramban doesn't hold like those Rishonim. He holds the Ger, Shinas Garek Shumal requires a Tav Stamplis. So this is a daya in the Gemara that the Ramban passes. Like the Ramban says, this must have been what they did in times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, whatever you hold should happen now when a ger shen is gayer, when a ger comes to convert and he's already circumcised. Just project that back historically. It must have been what Sheva Levi did. Do I know for a fact that's what Sheva Levi did? Which sheet did Sheva Levi pass on? Like Hatavis Dambris, not Hatavis Dambris? I don't know. I'm sure they figured out. They had a qualified rabbi named Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sure they asked their shaylas too. So they had it figured out. But these are the two possibilities. Meaning either you hold you need Hatavis Dambris, you hold you don't need Hatavis Dambris, and everything's fine. So whatever it was, one way or the other. So Sheva Levi didn't need a mila. They either didn't need anything or they had Hatavis Dambris. That's one possibility. Then the Ramban suggests something else. Why can't a non-Jew who's already circumcised, what would be the issue of just going to the mikveh like a woman and just becoming a ger that way? So the problem is that the din is that in order to be nichnas l'kedushas Yisrael, you're not allowed to be an orel. In order to be nichnas l'kedushas Yisrael, to be an orel is incompatible with kedushas Yisrael. Right? It doesn't fit with kedushas Yisrael. So how do you define an RL? So there are multiple ways you could define an RL. How would you define an RL? I'm not talking about, Arla first 3 years, right? We already got that one out of the way. We're talking about it in the Mila context. How would you define an RL?
Somebody who didn't have any Mila that was the Shem
Yisrael. Ooh, so you're saying, someone who didn't have a Mila that was the Shem Yisrael. An RL is someone who lacked a certain Maisa Mitzvah done on his body. Any other possibilities? Why?
Because he's not an RL.
What does RL mean?
RL means someone who's an RL.
So the other possibility is an RL means physically someone who has an RLA is an RL. Someone who doesn't have an RLA is not an RL. So there's a Gemara Nedarim that says that if a person takes a Neder min ha'arelim, then he says, I'm not going to get any Hana from Arelim. So the Gemara says that he's Aser even in B'nai Noach who have a Mila. Because RL means that RL is another way of saying Bnei Noach. It's another way of saying non-Jews. Even in a guy who's circumcised, because the guy is always considered an RL. When somebody has a physical circumcision and is not Jewish, he's an RL. The shame RL is ma'akif him from entering Kedushas Yisrael. So he needs Hatavis Dambris, because Hatavis Dambris is going to take away that shame RL. However, that requirement may only be true, says the Ramban, if his circumcision lacked any religious content, any religious significance, like a hospital circumcision for a guy. However, Sheva Levi had a bris, not just stam, because they wanted a hospital, so because they happened to be living at a time where circumcision was in vogue, and that was considered the healthy thing to do. No, why did Sheva Levi get a bris? They were trying to keep the tradition of from Avram Avinu, that they're Bnei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, that they're part of Knesset Yisrael. Maybe that's enough to take away the Shem Arel. Meaning if Shem Arel means that you're associated with the Umos HaOlam, and Shevet Levi already did a bris to disassociate with the Umos HaOlam, to associate as Bnei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, maybe it doesn't have to be that I'm doing the Mila L'Shem Geirus. What does L'Shem Geirus mean? Remember, how did we define? Well, what was Geirus? What's the very definition of Geirus according to the Ram, according to the Ritva, the way of Salvation explained? Definition of Geirus is? Nichlus l'klal Yisrael. Normally that means kiyumei mitzvos and kabbalas mitzvos, or maybe for cherish it's not even kabbalas mitzvos. It's to be a member of klal Yisrael. Their mila was to be a member of klal Yisrael. So says Ramban, maybe that's why their mila worked. The mila Shem Levi had, it wasn't l'shem gerus, it was regular bris mila. But you don't need a mila dafka l'shem gerus. You need a mila to be part of Klal Yisrael, to not be an arel. So that's the second possibility. So far, two possibilities. Number one, the Ramban says, maybe you're an achrami. You need a tavis dam bris. Shem Levi did a tavis dam bris, because I hold you need a tavis dam bris when you have a gerush and this guy of shum mahu. Second possibility, they didn't need anything. They already had a mila. That mila was only the mila Avraham Avinu, was not a mila l'shem geirus. There's no requirement of a mila l'shem geirus. There's a requirement of a mila to be a member of Klal Yisrael. So they are a member of Klal Yisrael. So those are two possibilities. Tosfos increases Daf Tes as a third possibility. That's the same kash as Ramban, a different answer. Tosfos says, no, you need a mila l'shem geirus. But Shevet Levi was okay because being Malashem Geirus just means that you're doing a Mila for the purpose of distinguishing yourself from the Umos HaOlam. Meaning, every Milas Yisrael distinguishes us from the Umos HaOlam. So any Mila L'Shem Mitzvah is a Mila L'Shem Geirus. It's very similar to the Ramban's second approach, except leaving out the Arel piece. And it's not about that he's an Arel before and now not an Arel. Just there's no such thing called Mila L'Shem Geirus. There's something called Mila L'Shem Mitzvah. And Mila L'Shem Mitzvah counts as a Mila L'Shem Geirus. Nowadays, by the way, very often what you'll have, my brother's a Mo'el on the West Coast, right? So a lot of times there are a lot of Israelis there that run away from Israel and hang out on the... in Northern California and, work in tech and whatever else. So a lot of times you'll have an Israeli guy meets a nice non-Jewish girl and Rachman Tzlan, and they get married and they have children, and for some reason the Israeli father always insists that his son have a Brit Milah. So my brother always, whenever they call, he always says, "This is your son is not Jewish." He does not, he makes a big point of telling the guy, because he feels that a lot of times they're asking for Brit Milah to sort of, calm their guilt over the fact that they've made themselves the end of the line of the Jewish people as far as their family is concerned. But what a lot of Moalim will do is they'll do a Milah and have in mind that it should be a Milah L'Shem Geirus also. And the reason they do that is that there's a high likelihood when one parent is Jewish that at some point he's going to want to convert. And if at some point he wants to convert, they don't want to have to put him through anything else. So in terms of Hatavas Dam Bris, so a lot of times they'll have a Moel that will do a Mila L'Shem Geirus, even though there's a high likelihood that there will never be a Geirus, because there's also a high likelihood that one day there will be a Geirus. So a lot of times they'll do that. But says Tosfos, you don't need that. Any Mila L'Shem Mitzvah is a Mila L'Shem Geirus, because it distinguishes us from the Umos HaOlam. So again, three approaches. Either Shevet Levi needed Hatavas Dam Bris, or they weren't Arelim, and therefore it wasn't a problem to begin with, or that any Mila L'Shem Mitzvah is a Mila L'Shem Geirus. So the Ramban says it would be a huge nafkamina. What would be the din if the Bnei Keturah, the descendants of Keturah, the wife of Rav Avinu, who required a Bris Mila, would come into Beis Din and say that they got a Bris Mila when they were a baby, and would now like to be Megayer? Meaning the Bnei Keturah were not Jewish, but they were descendants of Avram Avinu, so Chayv and Mila. So they said, okay, we did our Chiv, we got our Mila, now we'd like to be Jewish also. So Ramban says, L'chora, they should only need Tevila. They already had a Shem Mahu, because they did a Bris L'Shem Mitzvah. The only reason we would do Hatavas Dam Bris is if you assume that the special status of Bnei Keturah only lasted one generation. But Bnei Keturah nowadays don't have a requirement, and Mela, they would have a Shem Arel. But if not for that chiddush about Bnei Keturah, they wouldn't require a Tavas Dam Bris. So the Rambam disagrees with the Ramban. And the Rambam holds that all generations of Bnei Keturah require Mila B'Shmini. It's not only a one generation thing. However, according to Tosos, the Bnei Keturah would need a Tavas Dam Bris, even if you hold that they are obligated in Mila. Because the Mila wasn't there to designate them as a member of Klal Yisrael. And if it's not there to designate them as a member of Klal Yisrael, then that doesn't count. Right? So according to Tosfos, it has to be any Mila L'Shem Mitzvah. Mila L'Shem doesn't mean Mila L'Shem, Mila L'Shem association with Klal Yisrael. So Rav Chaim in his Chidushin on Yevamos says that you can only call a Milas Yisrael, a Milas Shem Geirus, when doing the Mila as a member of Klal Yisrael. But Milas B'nei Keturah certainly does not count as a Milas Geirus. Okay, fine. So you have these three approaches as far as what the role of Mila was for Shevet Levi, who already had a circumcision in Mitzrayim. Now let's back up a step. The Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin discusses Neved Kanani. Right, so what happens? You free Neved Kanani. So while he's Neved Kanani, what is he? Is he a Jew, non-Jew? He's halfway, right? In what sense? He's chayv in mitzvos ki'isha. Now, it's a question, can you say asher ki tishana b'mitzvos v'tzvah? Right, a woman in mitzvah shaz man grama that she's part of from, if she's Ashkenazi, she says asher ki tishana b'mitzvos v'tzvah. Sephardi, she does not. Right? So what's the... I mean, why does a Sephardi woman not say asher ki tishana b'mitzvos v'tzvah on lulav? Because they're not mitzvah, it's a lie, right? Meaning you're putter from mitzvah shazman grama, so it would be a sheker. Rav Adi Yosef writes in a number of his tshuvas that he's very, very upset that he got wind of the fact that a number of Sephardi women started saying brachas mitzvah shazman grama because they live in Ashkenazi neighborhoods and they got jealous of their Ashkenazi neighbors that they were able to say brachas and sukkah and lulav. So he heard that Sephardi women started being influenced. He said, no, Adrab, you should influence them, because even Ashkenazim shouldn't. He was a little hifriz alamida, he went a little further than he probably should have. Even the Ashkenazim probably shouldn't, because he found three Ashkenazic poskim in history or something that said that that they shouldn't. But Sephardi women do not say Shekhar Shabbos. Ashkenazi women do. Why? It's a good time, no? How can someone say Vitzivanu, and you commanded us, if there weren't commanded? So why do we do it? Klal Yisrael is all. I'm a member of Knesset Yisrael. Kiddushanu all of Klal Yisrael. Does a woman have Kiddushas Yisrael? Absolutely, a woman has Kiddushas Yisrael. So it's a question, what about an Eved Kanani? Eved Kanani is Chayv Mitzvos Ki Isha. Would he also say Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvos Vitzivanu? He's an Eved Kanani, meaning he's chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha, but he's not yet a member of Knesset Yisrael. So it's very likely that even an Ashkenazi Eved Kanani, whatever, even right, would not say Asher Kedushan Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, because he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. So the Gemara discusses an Eved Kanani and talks about when you free him, you give him a shtar shechur, or do some sort of kesef type of transaction. And the Gemara says that in addition to the shikur, he needs another tevila. I mean, you gave him a tevila when he first was nichnas into avdus, and he became chayv mitzvos kisha. Now he needs another tevila. What's the tevila shniya all about? So the Ramban quotes the Balei Tosfos that if the tevila shniya were daraisa, it would have to be a tevila l'shem gerus. But if that were the case, he would also need a mila shniya. Meaning, he would need, what does it mean, a mila shniya? A Tav Zambris. He also needs a Tav Zambris. Well, whoever heard of such a thing that we require it? Meaning, if you're going to require a second tevila, it's because you held the first tevila wasn't enough to make him a ger, right? Well, then the first mila shouldn't have been enough either. And therefore, you should require the whole process again. It says Ramban, whoever heard of that? We never heard that. An Eved Kanani is going to need a Tav. Every Eved Kanani is going to need a Tav Zambris. We never heard of such a thing. That on his way in, you're going to give him a mila. On his way out, you can give him another mila, l'shem gerus. So if it's not true about Mila, it's not going to be true about Tevila either. So the inescapable conclusion, says the Ramban in the name of Tosfos, is that Tevila Shniya is only a Dimi Drabana. Right? That there's no real requirement of Tevila Shniya. The original Tevila he did was good enough. It's only Midrabana. And the Muka Yosef says the same idea, that Tevila Shniya is only Drabana, and says that based on this, if a person becomes a Meshumad, what is a Meshumad? He decides to become a Christian, right? A Jew decides he's giving up on Judaism, and he becomes a Christian. So there was a practice that you make him go back to the mikveh. Afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, a Jew can never escape his Jewishness, no matter what you do, no matter how badly a Jew sins, he's still a Jew. And Nebuchadnezzar was also Jewish, but when you enter a higher level of kedusha, we symbolically put the person in the mikveh, says Yosef. So you put a meshumad in the mikveh also, because it's a symbol of elevating himself to a higher level of kedusha. The Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, that if someone would become meshumad and then he comes back, he should go to the mikveh again. It's not gerus in the sense that he was never a non-Jew, but he had abandoned everything, so now he's coming back to Knesset Yisrael, but that's clearly a din midrabanan. Good. So Tevila Shnia says the Nimukei Yosef, and the Balei HaTosos that the Ramban quotes, Tevila Shnia for Nebuchadnezzar is only drabanan. It can't be a Doraisa. It can't be required midaraisa. Says the Ramban, I disagree. I think that Tevila Shnia is Doraisa. Eved Kanani is not a Jew. He's a guy who's chayiv in certain mitzvahs. There's no asher kedushan of the mitzvahs of Tzivanu for an Eved Kanani. He's a look, non-Jews are chayiv in mitzvahs also. Every non-Jew is chayiv in mitzvahs. So this is a type of non-Jew that's chayiv in some more mitzvahs than other non-Jews. Right? Just like in, among the Jewish people, we have certain people chayiv in more mitzvahs than others. Like who and who? Kohanim, men, women, king. And there are all different levels of chiyuvim of mitzvos for different Jewish people. It's not that, so a non-Jew also. You could have a non-Jew who's chayiv in seven mitzvos, and then you could have a non-Jew who's chayiv in many more mitzvos, chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha. But fundamentally, he's a non-Jew, says the Ramban. And as a non-Jew, when he comes to convert for real, at the end, he needs a tevila midoraisa. Aye, but the Ramban said no, but the raya that the Balei HaTosos brought, that it can't be a tevila midoraisa. What was the raya they brought? Because then you should need a mila. You should need a mila midoraisa. You should need a tefes dambris. So Ramban says, the same reason Shevet Levi didn't require a tefes dambris, the Eved Kanani is not going to need a tefes dambris. Why didn't Shevet Levi require a tefes dambris? L'shem mitzvah. So a mila l'shem mitzvah. Eved Kanani had a mila l'shem mitzvah. The reason the Balei HaTosos didn't say that the initial bris counts is that they're going l'shitasim, that the bris mila had to be l'shem milas Yisrael. And an Eved Kanani's mila is not l'shem mitzvah Yisrael. An Eved Kanani is not an Arel and has a shem mal, but he didn't have a milas Yisrael. So basically you have three categories of people. You have like the Shevet Levi, the Bnei Keturah, and Eved Kanani. So according to Tosos, Shevet Levi doesn't need Hatavas Dambris, but Bnei Keturah would need, in theory, and Eved Kanani would need. According to the Ramban, Shevet Levi doesn't need, and neither does Eved Kanani. So, meaning, you have to like make like a chart and figure out, based on these three shittos, as far as what in the world happened with Shevet Levi, to then try to figure out what should happen, what ought to happen with Eved Kanani. So again, when it comes to Shevet Levi, we had three approaches, right? One approach was, you got to do a Tavis Dambris on Shevet Levi. Whatever they did in Mitzrayim wasn't good enough, right? That was one approach. Second approach was, no, Shevet Levi, they were Arelim. So they were not Arelim. Only an Arel, only a Nachri really needs some sort of additional Mila. And then third possibility is whenever you're doing it, L'shem Mitzvahs Mila. So again, either L'shem Kedushas Yisrael or L'shem Mitzvahs Mila. So Nafkamina would be, if you have someone who's an Eved Kanani, he did L'shem Mitzvahs Mila, but not L'shem Yisrael, right? So that would be a Nafkamina between them.
When the Ramban's saying here that L'shem Mitzvahs Mila, is that saying that Mila also works as the Mila's here? So he's saying that it just removes the requirements from the Akiva. He says that now that you did that,
you don't need it.
That's a Mila. You're no longer an Ariel. And therefore, since you're no longer an Ariel, there's no Mechayiv anymore to get a Mila.
Right.
So therefore, since there's no Mechayiv, now you only need Tvila. That's saying that it's fulfilling the right.
Yeah, Lecharim. Balei HaTosos seem to assume. You have a question?
What's the difference between, what's an afkamina between Tvila and Tvila?
Suffolk, I guess. We had a Suffolk Tvila. If you're not sure about the kashrus of the mikvah, I don't know. What?
I was saying, Ayin Sham, like out the window, like the lake.
Oh, the lake. Yeah. Someone was just hacking me about the Chabad mikvahs. Chabad builds mikvahs differently than everybody else. They do a bar al gabi bar instead of side by side. Someone's saying, so how did the Alter Rebbe, come up on his own with a new system that no one else ever thought of before? I don't think anyone holds it's possible. It's just, it wasn't always our tradition. Now Chabad, so someone's saying that a lot of the Chabad shuls that have mikvahs now don't have Chabad mikvahs, because Chabad's new, one of the things that they're doing now, as Rabbi Ziyarza yesterday, one of the ways that they're expanding now is that they're taking over conservative shuls, because conservative shuls are all dying. So Chabad is always happy to take over, you know, they take over the building and they take over. So a lot of these old, either really old Orthodox shuls or shuls that used to be Orthodox that went conservative at a certain point, so they're all dying out, so Chabad takes over. So now you have a lot of Chabad mikvos that aren't even Chabad mikvos. Okay, but that's what you have over here in, what's it, a town nearby here? Not Woodridge, but...
Woodburn?
Not Woodburn. This one of these towns, I forgot the name of the town. It was a big shul. Well, it used to be like a big shul. So I think Chabad took it over and they have a mikvah there. What? Ellenville. Right? Ellenville?
That's where Walmart is.
That's where Walmart is. Oh, okay. So, I think in Ellenville there is like a big, you can drive by. I think we pass by sometimes. So... Okay, so again, so back to our discussion. So the Balei HaTosfos assume that Milu L'Shem Geirus and Milu L'Shem Mitzvah Yisrael are all the same. Meaning, it's one and the same. There's no special din called L'Shem Geirus. Whereas the Ramban said, no, there's a difference between the two. So let's explore that a little further. How similar is Milas Yisrael and Milas Geirus to each other? The Rishonim discussed this in the context of a Gemara in Yevamos about requiring Hatavas Dam Bris for somebody who's already circumcised and he wants to convert, right? Like we discussed. Guy shows up to Beis Din. That's the first question we ask the guy, by the way. Are you circumcised yet? You know, because that's good. Because otherwise we're going to have a conversation, right? Meaning, so for those Tanayim who hold that a Gershon is Gayer Kshu Mahal, that a guy who shows up to Beis Din already circumcised, needs Hatavas Dam Bris, meaning that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. So the first Mila wasn't acceptable because it wasn't on the Shem Mila. So the Tan Rabbi Yossi seems to assume that there's a need of Lashma to the Mila. However, the Gemara in the second paragraph of Adazar discusses Akuti doing a Mila. And over there, Rabbi Yossi has a line where he says, V'chi heichon matzinu Mila d'bina Lashma. Whoever said that a Mila needs to be Lashma? There's no need for a Mila to be Lashma. So it's a stira in Rabbi Yossi. Tosfos Yerushalmi over here in Yevamos asks the stira. So again, what's stira in Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi seems to assume that the mila he got as a guy, the circumcision he got as a guy doesn't count. Why? Because it wasn't l'shem anything. It needs to be l'shma. And yet in the sex of the Zohar, Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, if a kuti does the mila, that's good enough, because v'heichon metzina, where do we ever find that a mila needs to be l'shma? Same Rabbi Yossi, same author. How could he say that in Yevamos that you need a meal, that you need a meal l'shma, and in Avodah Zarah that you don't need a meal l'shma? So Tos Yishanim, it would seem that it's not a kasha to begin with, because the Gemara in Yevamos discusses a meal as Geirus, where the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about a meal as Yisrael. Maybe a real meal as Yisrael doesn't need l'shma, but a meal as Geirus needs l'shma. No, meaning what's the whole stira over here? He says that mila needs to be lishma. In Avodah Zarah, he said mila doesn't have to be lishma. In Avodah Zarah, he's talking about mauling a Jewish kid. He's already Jewish. So you want to know how to cut off the arla? I don't care if you do that lishma or not, he's already Jewish. But in Yevamos, what are we talking about? We're talking about a guy who shows up to Beis and says, I'd like to convert. Right? He wants to convert. So we have to do something to him to make him a convert, to make him a Jew. So for that, you're going to need a mila lishma. Because you want to turn him into a Jew. Meaning, if the Mila L'Shem Yisrael, Mila L'Shem Geirus, if the Mila L'Shem Geirus and a regular mitzvah's Milas Yisrael were one and the same, we'd have a stira. But Pashto says they're not one and the same. And yet the Tosfos Yerushalmi is bothered by this kasha. He's a stira. Why does he think it's a stira? Because what's he assuming? That they're the same. That a Mila L'Shem Geirus and a Mila L'Shem Yisrael is the same. So Tosfos Yerushalmi answers differently. He says, no, the case that the Gemara of Elzur was talking about when a Kuti does the Mila, it's because Yisrael Omer Al Gabav. It's the Jewish Moel was there telling him what to do. And so he was providing the Lishma. The Kuti was doing the Maisa, and the Jew that was Omer Al Gabav was providing the Lishma. So Gin Yivama says he had a non-Jew that had a Mila, was in a hospital 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or whatever, and there was no Yisrael Lomid al-Gabba, there's no Yisrael anywhere in the vicinity. Right? So there was never a Lishma. So there's a Shaila comes up all the time. A contemporary Shaila. Child is born, everybody thinks he's Jewish. The world thinks that this child is Jewish. A Moel does the Bris Mila at 8 days, because he's a Jew, so he did the Bris Mila at 8 days. And then he later discovers that he either isn't Jewish or might not be Jewish. All the time. We once had in the Geira space, and we were meeting somebody, a kid comes in, you know, a kid comes in, to the kid, I mean like your age, you know, he was 3 months from his Shana Aleph in Nativ, and, or less than 3 months, he was going to go to Nativ 2 months later, he comes in with tzitzis out, treles, the whole thing, white shirt, and I should warn him to take off the tcheles because Rabino will kill him. But okay, you know, so he comes with the whole, like, what's the story here? So, you know, like, maybe you got the wrong room. So the story was that he was always Jewish, as far as he knew. He was raised in a non-religious Jewish family. He said he was the victim of anti-Semitism as a kid. He said when he was in sixth grade, they showed a filming of the Anne Frank Diaries or something, and he got so emotional, and the other kids in the class were making fun of him, you know, like making very negative comments about what has been done to the Jewish people and will happen again to the Jewish people and things like that to him, and he was totally broken by it. And he said, well, and as a sixth grader, he said, I, you know, he felt very Jewish. He felt like he wanted to explore Judaism more. Again, Jewish kid raised in a non-frum Jewish home, and so he started getting involved in NCSY and other things, and he became more and more frum as time went on. And at some point, his great grandmother died, and they wanted to know what the great grandmother's Hebrew name was for the matzeva. So they asked one of their cousins, "What was, you know, Grandma's Hebrew name?" And the cousin said, "Grandma didn't have a Hebrew name. What do you mean, Grandma didn't have it? Was it like a Yiddish name? Like, well, what do you mean?" It's like, Grandma wasn't Jewish. What? Grandma wasn't. So at the time, he was in 10th grade, and he said, "All right, so I'm 7/8 Jewish," meaning all of his great grandparents were Jewish, except for this one, except for his mother's mother. Right? Everyone else was Jewish, and it didn't occur to him that it was a problem. Then he got frumer and frumer and frumer. And he realized at some point, and he was already going to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he realized that he wasn't Jewish, so he came to the base. Right? It happens all the time that things like this come up. So how do we do a gir l'chumra? So certainly we do a tevila without a bracha. Well, in this case, it was with the bracha, but certainly you do a tevila. What about doing hatafas dam bris? So they did a mila when he was 8 days old. Why did they do that? It wasn't a hospital circumcision. It was Rabbi Krohn, right? It was like, could have been, right? It could have been any from good Malel, right? And he was doing a meal on a Jewish child, as far as he knew. He asked all the questions. And at that time, they were told, all 8 great-grandparents are Jewish. 8 out of 8. So does that count? Do you need a tafas dam bris? So, no. If you assume that Shevet Levi required a tafas dam bris, because the previous mila was worthless, and b'shas gerus you need a mila, so no. So yeah, you need a tafas dam bris here too, right? Shevet Levi also had a mila, l'shem Zera Avraham, and keeping alive the tradition from Avraham Avinu. According to the Ramban, who said Shevet Levi never required a tafas dam bris, because it was chal aleihem shem mohu. Since there was a mila that took away the shame orel and made him a gavra hanimol, it made him a person who was, made them someone who's nimol. The question is whether we would say chal aleha shame mahu. So the pashtus says it was not chal shame mahu on him, since he was a non-Jew who was circumcised. It would therefore turn out that you do need hatav zambris. B'nei k'tura v'k'nani, Shevet Levi are all a bris that's halachically significant. In this case, the reality was that the bris he got at that time was not a halachically significant bris. It was not a halachically significant bris, because he was a guy. According to Tosos, that the reason Shevet Levi didn't need a tafas dam bris is that whenever a bris is done, lahavdilo min ha'amim, it means that it would count as a mila, that would work for Geras as well. The intention was certainly, and he was 8 days old, Havdilo min ha'amim. What did they say right after the bracha? Hashem 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 Hashem. Right? It was clearly to be Havdilo min ha'amim. even if it was a mistaken premise that caused them to do that, but that was the intention. And if that was the intention, it would be good enough. Wow. It's like halacha lemaisa. This happens. Lemaisa, we do have tav sambris in those cases. Again, we'll talk about a tav sambris, what that entails, but not today. L'chora, Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that we don't have an explicit gemara about a mila that's done with incorrect intentions, but we do have a gemara about tevila that's done with incorrect intentions, and maybe we could be lomed from one to the other. Meaning, this shaila doesn't appear in the gemara. He didn't have such a thing where a baby was born and we thought he was Jewish, and then it turns out that he probably wasn't. And again, like I said, it comes up all the time. It's not like the kid was learning in the tiv for like, you know, half a year. He never told a word about his story until one Friday night. Ravina got up and he said, "And now what is going to tell his whole life story?" And he's like, "What?" And he got up and he spoke and he told his whole life story. I remember when I visited yeshiva that year, he was so excited to see me because I was on his base. So I was nice. I wonder where he is now. Anyway, so Rav Moshe says, look, we don't have this shaila in the Gemara, but what we do have is a tevila that's done with incorrect intention. The Gemara talks about a woman that didn't have a proper tevila for her geirus, and the Gemara has this funny line. The Gemara says, "Milo tavla l'nidusa." What does "milo tavla l'nidusa" mean? She went to the mikvah for nida. Yes, that's got to be good enough. What? What does that mean? First of all, the assumption that she went to the mikvah for nida. Who says she went to the mikvah for nida? Okay, but let's make that assumption. Let's assume she thought she was Jewish, so she went to the mikvah for nida. So, okay, so she had a tevila, but the tevila wasn't l'shem geirus. And the Gemara seems to say, "Milo tavla l'nidusa." Oh, yeah, it's good enough. She had a tevila because she went to the mikvah for nida. So there are two basic approaches in Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Tosus writes that tevilas nida counts as the tevilas geirus, which causes a lot of problems. How could tefillas nida be okay? It's done. First of all, tefillas nida is done when? At night. Tefillas geirus has to be done during the day. Geirus has to be done in front of a beis din. Tefillas nida is not done in front of a beis din. So it's just assumed. Mila tavla l'nidusa. So Tosfos works really hard to try to show how really there must have been a beis din, and Lila maybe is, maybe not. Okay, but Tosfos works, right? We'll get back to that also. When we talk about Beis Din and the role of Beis Din. But Tosfos has to, go like this to try to make it work, because the Gemara says that Tefillas Nida. How is it Tefillas Nida is done at night? Tefillas Zava is done during the day. We assume nowadays women, when they become Tamei, are a Zava, that they're a Zava Gedola. A Zava Gedola is Tefillas during the day, but we still keep the Chumra of doing Tevila at night, Ki'ilu, she's a Nida. So you'd still have the same issue. So that's Tosfos. The Rambam has a different approach. Ram writes, Tefillas Nida does not work for geirus. One's got nothing to do with the other. What the Gemara means to say is that if the woman is very religious, and the Gemara gives an example, what does it mean, a religious woman? She's Tavel L'Nidusa. That's what a religious woman does. Meaning to say, since we know that she observed mitzvos, like Taras HaMishpacha, Rambam writes, Hafrashas Chala. I know he just picks the women mitzvos. The mitzvos that, define women. So yeah, Hadlakas Neiros and Afrashas Chala. You read the Mishnah about Malikin, whatever. She was Zayir about all those things. So the Gemara uses as an expression Milo Tavla L'Nidusa. What does the Gemara really mean to say? Says Ram, not that she went to the mikvah about Nidus. That's not what it's about. It's trying to say that she observed Torah mitzvos. So we try to find Adim who can clarify what had happened, because we know that she wasn't previously Jewish. So when a person comes to the community and says that they're Jewish, we believe them based on the rov. Most people who claim to be Jewish are Jewish. But if they have a cheskas goy, then they can't just be neman lomar Yisrael ani. They can't just show up and say, "I'm a Jew." They need to bring a raya. They need to bring proof. However, this is what the Gemara is saying. We knew that this person used to be a non-Jew. They were becheskas non-Jew. So normally you would need to bring a raya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but once we see that they've been observing mitzvahs like a regular frum Jew, we go back to the rov. That rov non-Jews who start acting like a frum Jew must have been Megayer somewhere along the way. Not that the Tevilas Nida counts as the Tevilas Geirus. but that if she was acting like a frum Jew, she probably did a gerus somewhere at some point. Now, if she's going to the mikvah lady tells us, like clockwork, every month she comes to the mikvah, she does a whole chafif, and she prepares a bracha, the whole thing. She dips 1,000 times with all these Kabbalistic ideas, whatever, you know, she does everything like for the frumest Jew in the world. So, not that those tvilos count as anything. You know, people like dip a lot of times for different Kabbalistic. Men do it all, right? Yeah, oh, do you know that? Someone told me that they went with Eli Baruch, told me once went with Rabbi Aryeh Cohen to the Ari Mikvah, and Rabbi Cohen did 613 tevilos. How did he do it? He kept sticking his finger out of the water, and he said that someone who was there said to him, like some chassid was there, said, "Who normally?" So he's like, "No." So she goes to the mikvah over and over and over. It's not that the mikvah that she's going to because she's a nida is a tevil l'shem geirus. It's just a similar davar that probably somewhere along the way there was a tevil l'shem geirus. When the Gemara says milo tovli nidusa, we're not saying going to the mikvah is a tevil l'shem geirus. It's a simon she must have been megayer somewhere along the way. The proof that this is how the Rambam understood the Gemara is that the Rambam also gives the examples of her doing Hafrashas Challah, which clearly has nothing to do with the actual Geirus process. Right? The Rambam actually mentions Hafrashas Challah. That if the woman is doing Mafrash Challah, no one holds Hafrashas Challah as part of the Geirus process. So obviously it's not about the Geirus process. But it would be a hochacha that she's observing mitzvahs. So Gemara in Yevamah says, normally you need Eidim to prove that you're Jewish if we knew that you weren't born Jewish. The Rambam explains, Milo Tavlin Dusa, it's enough to help her children and grandchildren. For her, she would actually still need a Raya Brura, such as Eidim. But here we're talking about her descendants, and for them, you could rely on Milo Tavu Venidusa. So the Rambam doesn't have to contend with the issue of not having a Beis Din and Laila and all that, because it's not about the Geirus. Question?
Yeah, okay. How should
the
Geirus?
We don't know, meaning we don't know when her Geirus was. But we now have a Rov that most people who are observing Torah Mitzvot probably have a Geirus at some point. She came from a different community. I don't know. She says that there was a Beis Din in Russia when she was, you know, growing up that converted her. Okay. Apparently she's been observing mitzvah, so we're allowed to rely on that. At least klapei her children were allowed to rely on that. But not that we know. We don't know. We don't know at what point, when it was, who the Beis Din was, but it's good enough. The fact that she's doing mitzvahs is a good enough rov to rely on. That rov of the people that observe Torah mitzvahs probably are Jewish. So Moshe explains, Tosus is working with the assumption that it's not necessary to do a Tevila L'Shem Geirus. It only needs to be done B'Toras Yahadus, that you're trying to be a good Jew, and that would count as a Tevila. So Tosus works with the assumption that when she goes to the mikveh for Nida, that counts as a Tevila L'Shem Geirus, because you don't really need Tevila L'Shem Geirus, you just need Tevila L'Shem being Jewish. Whatever is a mice of being Noe Ki Yisrael is enough of a mice of Geirus when it comes to Tevila. So since she was going to the mikveh as an attempt to observe Jewish law, then that works for Geirus. The Rambam. Then what would the Rambam say? You need a tevila l'shem Geirus. A tevila for Nida, yeah, it's for Jewish law, it's for Avodas Hashem, it's for all those things, but it's not a Geirus. The only reason we're allowed to assume in the Gemara that she was Megairus is because we assume that there was a Tevila L'Shem Geirus that we just didn't know about. But there needs to be a Tevila L'Shem Geirus. That's Tevila. But we're not talking about Tevila today. What are we talking about today? Mila. We wanted to know, what if you did a Mila L'Shem Mitzvah, but not L'Shem Geirus, right? Our Shaila. This young man that was going to Netiv, he had a tevila l'shem mitzvah, but not l'shem geirus. Does that work? So Ramosha says, look, there's no gemara about this, but there's a gemara about a tevila l'shem mitzvah that's not l'shem geirus. That's milo tavla l'nidusa. Right? And we have a machlokas rishonim how to understand that gemara. You have Tosos and you have the Rambam, where Tosos holds a tevila l'shem mitzvah counts as a tevila l'shem geirus, and the Rambam says, no, it does not. You need an actual tevila l'shem geirus. So carrying it over to Mila, according to Tosos, that doing a Jewish act is good enough. Tevila l'shem nida works as tevila l'shem geirus. So, Mila l'shem mitzvah, no. It's a milah l'shem geirus, right? He got a milah Yisrael as a baby, or what we thought was a milah Yisrael, was a milah l'shem mitzvah, and that would be good enough. According to the Rambam, that you need actually l'shem geirus, and the milah when he was a baby wouldn't work. So Tos is assuming like the Tos Yishanim. Remember the Tos Yishanim, it asked the Stira in the two Gemaras whether you need Mila Lishma. What's the assumption of that question? Right? We said, what do you mean? What kind of Stira? One is L'Shem Geres, one is L'Shem Yisrael. So we said, oh, Tos Yishanim must be assuming it's the same thing, that they're no different. So Tosos is working with the same assumption that Tos Yishanim is working with. That you don't need the Shem Mitzvah, you don't need the Shem Geirus rather, that it's all the same thing. The Rambam is assuming not that way. And all of this really boils down to Mila the Shem Mitzvah and Mitzrayim on the Leviyah. Right? How you understand that? What?
The Rambam there says you need a Hatavas Dan Bris. The Rambam quotes the Rambam. Right. The Shita that needed a Hatavas Dan Bris and Mitzrayim was the Rambam. The Rambam says the same way you need the
tefillah
to be the
shame
of
yours,
you also need the
meal
to be the shame of
yours. Exactly. So it works out perfectly. Rambam's Lushitasa. Yeah. Question?
Yeah. Even according to Tosos, would there be an issue with having the meal and tefillah years apart or something like that?
So we'll talk about what you do in the interim, but l'chora it's not a problem to have it 7 years apart.
Why can't we say that, like, the Rambam would say for a meal that's not the shame of yours, that the fact that they had any like the fact they were religious, like you said, the woman who went to the mikvah for Nida, like that made them like that they're religiously trusting.
No, because in the case of the Rambam, I don't know anything about this woman's history. She's claiming to be Jewish, so the fact that she's religious is megala that she must have. But if a kid comes to me and says, I always thought I was Jewish and I just found out that I wasn't, and I ask, well, did you ever have a Geirus? And he says, no, because I always thought I was Jewish. I never had a Geirus. So that's a different story. So you can't make assumptions that because he's observing mitzvahs. It was an amazing maisa. The kid told us that he is real. Did I tell you this maisa with the with Barry Goldfisher's kids? Did I tell you guys this maisa? You guys know Barry Goldfisher? Who went to Frisch here? Yeah. Right? Isn't one of the Goldfishers a Rebbe in Frisch? The younger brother. That's his name, David Goldfisher, no? Right? So Barry Goldfisher runs a program in Israel, the summer program called TJJ. Yeah. Is that possible? Yeah? So this guy told us that he used to go to a conservative summer program in Israel. And the conservative version of NCSY. So they would, so one Shabbos, they were staying in the same youth hostel as TJJ. They were staying in the same place, and he said that he was so excited because like they have an Orthodox minion in TJJ, so he was super excited because he was so, like he wanted to, you know, he was moving in that direction, so like they happened to have been in the same place, so he was all pumped up. So he went over to some of the TJJ kids and he said, like, what time do you daven tomorrow morning? I guess the kids were, you know, played a practical joke on him. They said 6 a.m. They're even thinking about davening at 6 a.m. They're all going to be sleeping for another 3.5 hours. But they told him 6 a.m. So he woke up at 5:45, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and all ready to go for davening. And there was no one there. He went down to the lobby, except for, at that time, it was years ago, Barry Goldfisher's little kids. Like he had like 3-4-year-old children that were playing in the lobby, because that's what kids do when they're young. They wake up early. So he said they were the only Jewish kids, the only from kids that were there were these little kids. So he started asking them, what do you do in the morning? Moda'ani and brachos. So they started teaching him all about Yiddishkeit. So then he developed a relationship with Rabbi Goldfisher, and ultimately that's who was really Makariv him a great deal. But it was originally the children that were Makariv. I think, if I'm remembering the story correctly, you don't forget a story like that. I'm pretty sure that was the Maisa. Why did I mention that? I have no idea. Oh, because he never had a Geirus. He thought he was Jewish the whole time. Okay. So Rav Moshe says, you know, just carrying this forward, Rav Moshe says that if you learn the Gemara Milo Tavla, then he do says, meaning that Tevilas Nida is a Tevilas Geirus, it would follow that Tosos and Krislus is correct. So Tosos and Yivamas and Tosos and Krislus, and really all Rishonim who don't follow the Rambam's unusual reading of Milo Tavla the Nidusa, right? All the Rishonim that read Milo Tavlin Yudu says that the Tevilas Nida works, all hold that doing a Jewish act is good enough to be considered a Tevila, and therefore a Jewish act is good enough to be considered a Mila. As long as it's a Jewish act of Tevila or a Jewish act of Mila, that's good enough. According to the Rambam, that Milo Tavlin Yudu is not a Gelus. It might as well be Hafrashas Chala. It's just that you're observing mitzvahs. And according to the Ramban, that a milah needs to be for the sake of geirus or carry some sort of kiyum mitzvah, then we still have a problem. So Rav Moshe says that this entire discussion about Shevet Levi, he says, was all assuming a premise that somebody who is circumcised and comes to be a megayer requires hatavas damris. But if you don't accept that premise and you hold that somebody who was circumcised medically doesn't even need hatavas damris, then there's never a question to begin with about Shevet Levi. And that was the machlokas Rishonim. So the whole conversation is really built on a suffix. So it's really suffix whether you even require a tavas damris to begin with if someone already is circumcised, right? And assuming you do, did their original meal count? What do we call that?
Svek sveka.
So what would you say? Svek sveka. L'charish go l'kula. So the rules of Svek Svek are probably like the most complicated rules in all of Halacha. Rabbi Razin pointed out to me the other day, like all of the major Achronim spent like entire Svarim discussing the Halachas of Svekos. The entire Shev Shmaitza is all about Halachas of Svekos. It's impossible. Shev Shmaitza. You ever try to learn a Shev Shmaitza? When I was my first year in Karen Biavne, one of my friends, Rabbi Yecheskel Freundlich, at that time he was Josh Freundlich, was advised by Rabbi Meshe Stav that you should learn Achronim once in a while. So he said, on Thursday nights, you know, I have a Seder in Achronim. So he asked me if I want to learn Achronim with him. So the first Thursday night, whatever, after night Seder, whatever, we sat down to learn Reb Chaim. So we learned the Reb Chaim piece on Tefillah, Omid B'fnei HaMelech, is the definition of Tefillah, Gishmak. Oh, this is fantastic. And the next Thursday night, we opened up a Shev Shmaitza. We were just like reading words and like having no idea. And like, you know, at some point, like we look at each other, you don't get it either, do you? No. Okay, so just put it away. Like, it's just so hard, right? It means all about the Klalei HaSvekos, the Shachro Klalei HaSvekos that go on for pages and pages, Kuntros HaSvekos, they all dealt with Klalei HaSvekos. So to the point that the Shach writes, you know what, you're not allowed to make up your own Sveksveka. Because there are too many klalim, you'll never know if you're following all the klalim to be able to have a legitimate svek sveka. So over here, there are many tzaddim to suggest that the person does not require tavas damris. There's a possibility that tavas damris is not necessary for the geirus. But once he becomes Jewish through the tefillah, maybe as a Jew he has a chiv to do a bris. Bottom line is that there's a lot of evidence that many Rishonim would say that he doesn't need a tavas damris, but Moshe writes, do it anyway, in order to avoid any sfeikos. Meaning no one wants to be like, at the end, like 98% sure that I'm Jewish. You know, like, you want to know at the end of the process. I used to make that joke when I was Masada Kedushin under the Chuppah. I used to be like, I'm like 95% sure you're married now. You know, like people didn't appreciate it. Like people stopped laughing at it, so I stopped saying it. So Rav Moshe writes, so we do it anyway to avoid any snake. It's not such a big deal to do a tough sabris. Easy for me to say, right? But it's not as bad or as painful as it sounds. But if someone puts up a big fight, or there's some shasat chak, so there's what to rely on. Rav Moshe does distinguish between a ger gadol and a ger katan. And maybe a ger katan needs hatavas damris for other reasons. So again, different batei dinim, you know, would have different hanhagos as far as this is concerned. Some will insist on it, some will not insist on hatavas damris. That's assuming, of course, that the original moel had no intention to shame geirus. As I mentioned before, oftentimes, if you could find the original moel, or he'll oftentimes provide the family with a certificate, and he had in mind, and he'll write in Hebrew or something, you know, that he had in mind the Shem Geirus, and then you'll know that you're not going to need a Tav Sambris for sure, right, if he had in mind the Shem Geirus. So that would be another, that would certainly solve the whole problem. But again, this is halacha l'maisa shayla, And it all boils down to what seems like the least halacha l'maisa discussion in history of Maida Hava Hava, you know, of what happened with Shevet Levi, right? That's that discussion, what happened with Shevet Levi in Mitzrayim, yields these significant halacha l'maisa ramifications of what kind of mila needs to be done in order for a mila to count. Okay, we'll stop there. Tomorrow we'll move on to a different sugya. Yeah.